I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, the traditional custodians of the land on which I live, create and connect. I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging and recognise the deep and sacred ongoing connection First Nations people have to this land, its waters and their rich traditions of storytelling, art and culture. Always was, always will be. Welcome to The Art of Connection, a space created to explore true connection with the arts and conscious creators in our community. Thank you for choosing to be here with me. I'm Yana, an entrepreneur, creative, mother, and the founder of my own heart-led business, Oaken Haven. The Art of Connection explores how heart-led work will guide us to satiating soulful fulfillment and welcomes us home to ourselves over and over again. Like a rising and falling tide, we explore how we're nurtured by the rhythm and flow of true connection. I'm looking forward to slowly exploring the vast tapestry of connection this life brings to us, alongside insightful guests who are recognising the same in their very own meaningful work. While you're here, let's take a moment to slow down, breathe a little bit deeper, and embrace the beauty of these golden moments, because it's in these moments that we are guided to our visions. So let's trust that magnetic pull that always leads the way. Thank you for being here. It's truly a pleasure to have you. Make yourself at home and let's begin. Good afternoon and welcome back to another episode of The Art of Connection. I'm your host, Yana, and I'm so glad that you're here and that you've made time to tune in. It's just always such a delight to know who is here because I get lots of beautiful messages during the week letting me know where you have been listening to the episodes, perhaps on your afternoon walk, perhaps while your little one is asleep and you're having a moment for yourself, you know, a cup of tea on the couch or whatever works for you. I'm just going to start this episode by giving you a little rundown of where I am and what life has looked like since last week and what I've been up to. And then I have a few questions that have come in from the Ask Me Anything question box that was on Instagram. So I'd love to answer those for you. And thank you for sending them through. I'm just going to take a moment to like have a deep breath and really get back into my body. Maybe you want to join me on that too. Deep breath in. Oh, and out. I always close my eyes for that because I like to feel my energy come back into my body. Oh, goodness me. If you can hear any cockatoos or kookaburras, I'll tell you why. It's because I'm sitting on my new bed. Well, it's not new. It was Elby's, but we've put it in our new home. And I'm currently sitting on our bed. We bought some beautiful linen sheets with some money we were gifted for our new home. They're like a sage green colour. And I've got a cup of tea in a beautiful mug that I was waiting to use until we had completely moved in. And that's by my beautiful friend Dana from R&R Claywork. And it's just such a vibe when you're just able to have a moment to enjoy these things. So if you've got a hot drink with you, welcome to have a sip now as well. Delicious. So I am lounging back on my bed, and it's been a big few days, very full days, and a big week as well. So at the moment, the store is in a little bit of a what would you call it? Like level 4000 Tetris mode. We've been moving shelves from one side of the shop space to the other to make more space for the kids section. So the shelves are a bit taller now, and we've been able to kind of really make a kids section, because some of the feedback that we got from you about coming into Christmas was that you just want it to be really easy to find a gift that you're after. And so part of that means kind of making sections for things, you know, a kid's section, like a skincare section, you know, that kind of thing. So you know exactly what to look for when you come in. And one of my jobs, I recently wrote out all my, like my to-do list on a fresh lined notebook. I just did a bit of a brain dump onto that. And I think I filled two lined pages of jobs. And I actually used to really stress about which thing do I do first? What is the first job that I need to do? But really now I just put everything on the piece of paper and I kind of like scan through and I literally just pick one, because I think our motivation and our movement stops when we just are paralyzed with choice. And I find that I can build momentum and gain momentum just by picking one and then just going for it. And I tick that one off. It doesn't matter how hard or how easy it is. I just pick one and just start. And then I find that gives me more energy to keep going and do the next one and then the next one and the next one. So that's been on my mind lately. I'm also really looking forward to making it really easy to shop by putting little signs on things like great for teachers, great for kids, great for teenagers, great for mum, you know, great for the older people in our lives, you know, things like that. So you can really kind of, when you come in, you can definitely see what works in that way. So that's on my list as well. But I've been so looking forward to getting to this point of the day and sitting down to record this for you. And I'm just so grateful that you're here and you're listening. I wanted to also ask, sometimes I'm a big advocate for asking for what you want. And I also make a point of this at Christmas, especially for mums. Sometimes we want somebody to just know us so intimately and get the perfect gift, because we know other people so well. But sometimes that just requires asking for exactly what you want. And I make a point of this. I have a wish list in my phone and I share this notes app, like that page, with my partner, so that if anybody asks, you know, at birthday times or Mother's Day or Christmas, or like, what does Yana want or what does Yana like? There's a whole list there of things that have caught my eye. I just put the link in there, or, you know, I write down the product and things like that. So in terms of asking for what you want, this podcast that you're listening to is produced by my friend Justin, is edited and produced by him, because I cannot, I did the first few episodes by myself, but I do not have the capacity while also running a shop and being a mum and, you know, owning a business to be able to do this myself as well. So I am putting the call out for any local brands or businesses that would like to collaborate with me on the Art of Connection, and perhaps we could think of some kind of sponsorship deal where I can advertise your business, as long as it's aligned, preferably like mother-centric or something to do with the well-being of women. And yeah, I think if that might be you, if you have a business that you think might be aligned, feel free to send me an email at theartofconnectionpod@gmail.com or just on Instagram at theartofconnection. And I think I'll put my Instagram handle and my email in the show notes, so you can just click that easily. But if that's something that is of interest to you and you think it's also aligned for you, then please let me know, because the money that comes through with sponsorships, or something like that, will help me to be able to pay for the production of this podcast. And that just helps ease the load for me too, because I'm currently funding everything in my life. And I just thought, wouldn't it be nice to get help doing this? And I thought, well, why don't I just ask? You know, it's always good to put the feelers out there. So if that's you, let me know. And I'm very grateful. Thank you very much. So the last few weeks have been incredibly hectic, but do you know what? I have made a point of just letting it be hard. And this kind of profound moment happened recently when I was at the gym. I think I've spoken about this before in a previous episode about strength training. But as I was reaching the end of my reps, my trainer Suze just said to me, "It's okay, just let it be hard." And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, it's hard. Just let it be hard. Don't resist it. And I was like, okay. And I finished the set, but it was way easier because I wasn't waiting to struggle. I wasn't trying to resist the struggle at the end. And I have used that mentality in so many other ways lately, and I think it's really helped me. So I think sometimes when we are resisting change or resisting chaos or resisting friction or resisting challenge in our lives, it actually makes it harder for us to go through that experience. And I've kind of kept this in the back of my mind lately. You know, like I said, I had a very full to-do list and I thought, how could I make it easier, but just recognizing the fact that life feels incredibly full at the moment. The days are very full. The days have been, and I don't operate like this usually, so this is kind of an anomaly for me, but I used to operate like this all the time. But kind of those days where you really only have like 10-minute breaks in between each thing. So, you know, it might be from like getting home and before you do the next thing, or finishing work and then having to drive somewhere, or school pickup and getting home, or whatever it might be. And the days have felt like squeezed, like back to back to back to back lately. And I've really noticed that kind of pull. And instead of trying for it to not feel like that, I've kind of just let life be a bit messy and I've let it be hard. And so with work, with being at the shop space at Oakenhaven, the back room, the workshop space is absolute chaos at the moment because there's stock everywhere, because we've had to pull all the stock off the shelves and rearrange them, screw them back together, put them in position, and then re-merchandise the entire space. And that is like the saying, like you've got to crack an egg to make an omelette. So just, I'm quite proud of myself for just like leaning into this and not letting it kind of derail my nervous system or stress me out. I would always usually be the person that like could not leave unless things were like neat and tidy and everything was done. But the last few days I've just had to shut the door and be like, I'll get there when I get there, and I'm coming back tomorrow to, you know, get back to it. So if you are in a season of like pure chaos at the moment, then I'm right there with you. And also let's just surf the waves of it, you know, it won't be like that forever. And let me know if perhaps resisting or dropping the resistance to what is helpful for you. I found that that has been, it sounds counterintuitive, but I think that that has been the key for me. You might hear a train in the background. We live not far from the train station. So that's been really lovely to, it's been really lovely in our new space, just getting used to all the birds and the kookaburras and the king parrots and the rosellas and the train station and, you know, the different sounds of the neighbourhood, which has just been really lovely. So a little while ago, I asked you to ask me some questions that I could answer on here. And so that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to keep them anonymous because I don't know if the people that have asked questions would like me to use their name. So I might just use the first letter of their name. And that way, if you submitted it, you'll know if it was your question or not too. So the first one, which I think is really interesting, is by E. And the question is, have you ever struggled with imposter syndrome? And if so, how did you overcome it or come to terms with it? Oh my goodness, this is so relevant. And I'm so glad that you asked this. Thank you. So yes, I used to struggle with imposter syndrome really badly, especially when I was teaching, and it made my states of anxiety even worse than what they were, I think, because I was always striving to be something that I just couldn't be or I just wasn't. And I found that I experienced this less and less now, especially 2 years into having the shop space and being Oakenhaven. And I think I really love the, I remember listening to a podcast with Britt Wild, who now has a pen name, BJ Wild. But she, I remember she talked with Mika Ray, who I interviewed a couple episodes back about the half. She has a beautiful podcast called A Nourished Woman, and it was in that podcast, I'm pretty sure, their episode together. But I remember Brick just said something along the lines of, it's not really imposter syndrome, it's just that you're not good at it yet. it's just that you haven't done it yet. And I might be butchering that, but that was the essence of it. You know, like, of course it feels different and unusual and unfamiliar and hard and tricky and challenging and like it's not quite yours yet, you know, like a brand new pair of shoes, like you got to wear them in. And I think that's like with any behavior or anything that we are wanting to be or strive towards, we kind of have the growing pains into making that become really normal for us. And of course that feels really strange. And, you know, I think in the last episode with Sophie in the intro, I remember interviewing her over 2 years ago now and bringing these microphones with Daisy with me into the city or into South Yarra, two microphones that I had only used like 3 times before to interview somebody. And I remember being so nervous that I was like shaking, you know, I was like had the tremor happening because it just felt so unlike me and it just didn't feel real. And now I think, you know, recently when I went up to Queensland and interviewed Mika and I interviewed Sophie Rowlands, and that just felt like a really natural, normal conversation, and it just became really normal. Of course I had microphones in my bag, like, because that's what I do. And so I think a lot of the time imposter syndrome is just the signal to the body, like, hey, this is really unfamiliar. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. This is discomfort for me. And I think that it's just incongruent with past experience. So if there's something that you feel imposter syndrome about, like maybe a new job, it's like, yeah, well, of course, because that's not, have you had the job before? And have you worked in that place before with those people before? You know, of course it makes total sense that that's not real, you know, it's not real for your body yet to sink into. But the cure for imposter syndrome is to repeatedly show up for the things that you want to do and the person that you want to be. So if you would like a strong body, then you need to continually show up to the mat or the Pilates class or the strength training or whatever it might be to help you feel, you know, for your body to be like, oh yes, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And for me, you know, becoming an artist or a creative to really, I guess, and a business owner, I had to keep showing up and figuring out how to pay the invoices and figuring out how to make Instagram reels and figuring out how to talk on stories and figuring out how to use a microphone and edit podcasts and, you know, all of that kind of thing, and showing up to the workbench and just creating. And I think you can't think your way into being who you want to be. You have to do the thing. So I think that's what helped me overcome it. And if I'm honest with you, I recently had a form of imposter syndrome. I think it's maybe a bit of comparisonitis. And I was thinking about this in the car today and I thought I might as well share this with you because I feel like we can all kind of fall into this trap sometimes, especially for recovering perfectionists such as myself. Oh, goodness, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Maybe you are too. I don't know. But there's other beautiful shop spaces, you know, online that I follow and want to support. And one of them, which is incredible and I hope to visit them, has been, you know, in business for 10 years. Like they celebrated their 10-year anniversary in business this year. And just looking at what must be their budget and their stock levels and their staffing and their decorations and just everything that they do, I'm like, oh my God, that's so amazing. But I also think, you know, I kind of was falling into that trap of like, oh, I need to make my shop more like that and I need to decorate it like that or merchandise like that. And then I thought, hang on a second, I'm going off track here. I'm actually kind of straying away from my original intention and vision. And I'm just actually in the process now of paring that back and bringing it back to, you know, exactly the kind of essence of what I wanted to have in the first place. And I think when I compare myself to them, I was falling into the trap of thinking I wasn't wealthy enough, clever enough, creative enough, strategic enough, disciplined enough, like all of these things. But then I thought, hang on, I'm also still learning. This is my second year of business. I also have really great ideas. I'm also really creative. I can also do these fun things, you know, in my own way. And so just really pairing it back to, hang on, what was my original vision for the shop space? And it was to stock locally made and mindfully made goods, mostly by mothers and other women. So that is kind of my intention coming back into Christmas and summer, is really to just, I probably will stop stocking certain brands that have kind of taken me a little bit off track, and bring it back to more locally sourced goods, which kind of make my heart sing. That's what feels more me. So you might notice that shift over the next little while as well, especially after Christmas. Thank you for the question. And yes, I have and do struggle with imposter syndrome. And then I remember, it's okay. I've never done it before and I'm trying my best. And taking action and doing repeated behaviors really helps get rid of that. It's like the antidote, you know? And just narrowing your vision. Don't have such a wide peripheral vision on what everybody else is doing, because you're not really holding the vision for yourself when you're always watching what other people are doing. So just learning to use the mute button or the block button, just following people that and places and, you know, things that make you feel good and inspired, I think that has been very helpful. That we're actually all not, we're not in a competition, and there is time, and it is important to run your own race and do your own thing. Thank you for that question. The next question is from Kay. So thank you for your question. Yours was, how to forgive myself for so many things that I feel are holding me back to be able to move forward. And this is really interesting, actually. So how to forgive myself for so many things that I feel are holding me back to be able to move forward. I would say, I think forgiveness is such a key, but even before forgiveness, there's just acceptance. And I think becoming, kind of seeing past experience or past behaviors or whatever it is that you're wanting to forgive yourself for, just releasing any judgment or shame around it and just accepting that it exists and it's there. I think forgiveness is kind of like the step forward, but actually just being with it and witnessing it is probably the most important thing right now, and just the acceptance kind of space of it, the detachment. And I think also we don't need to hold ourselves prisoner for past things that we have done or do. I think obviously if we've caused harm or we need to make reparations, you know, definitely start moving down that line. But I think if it's just things like, oh, I wish I started this sooner, or I wish I did this way, or, you know, if we're holding on to guilt about things, well, I would frame it in a way of, well, would I have done it differently then if I knew what I know now? And if the answer is yes, then how can we judge or hold ourselves, you know, in purgatory, in a way, for something that we don't know or don't realize any different to what we did at the time? I think radical self-acceptance has been just so liberating for me with a lot of different things. And I can kind of relate. I'm sure there's a lot of things that I know there's a lot of things that I have done, or in ways I've behaved when I was younger, had done less of the work, knew myself less, and that kind of thing, caught up in like the ego, that I would definitely regret, or, you know, wish we went a different way. But I think that's part of the evolution of who we are and what we're here to do. So I think perhaps even, could you even write a letter to yourself for your past self, and letting them know that, you know, imagine you're kind of like your highest version of yourself, and knowing that that part of your journey was relevant for you, and that part of the journey was kind of meant to be. Like, what are the lessons from that space that you've learnt that you didn't know then but you know now? And giving yourself permission to let go of that and to move forward, I think, is the biggest thing. You know, we're not helping anybody by staying stuck or making sure that we stay stuck. That real persecutor mentality and the pointing the finger and the blame, I think, really keeps us stuck in places that we don't need to be. We put ourselves in these invisible cages of, you know, less freedom and, oh, I shouldn't have this or shouldn't want this because of X, Y, Z. But I think we don't have to graciously, you know, we don't have to go overboard with the forgiveness. Like, you don't have to be, I don't know how to explain it, but like over the top in like, you know, but I think, like I said before, just the acceptance of like, yes, well, this happened and I'm acknowledging that and here we are now. And what, how would I like to feel moving forward? And what could I do to make that happen? And I think you can do this. I know you personally, and I feel like the guilt is not irrelevant because it's there for a reason, but I don't think it's evolutionary to hold on to things that have happened before in order to keep you small. So let me know how you go. I would love to chat to you about this. Thank you for your question. The next one is the lucky last one that I'm going to answer. So thank you for sending them in. If you've got any other questions for the pod, just absolutely DM me or let me know. I'm more than happy to answer them. It's quite interesting to see what you ask. This is by another EM are the initials. It says, how did you know it was time to walk away from your old life and start anew? Ooh, goodness me. Life just felt incredibly hard. I knew that it was just feeling harder and harder and harder and harder. And it just got to a point where I thought, this cannot get any worse than what it is. I was incredibly unhappy. I felt like all of my life force energy was completely drained out of my body. I had zero energy and I just didn't love life. I felt no color in the world. I found it really difficult, not necessarily in the day-to-day, but everything felt exhausting. And I think that that is usually a signal that when there's a lack of creativity or this life force energy or vitality, that there is a big leak somewhere. And it's usually because we're misaligned in some way. We're in the wrong relationship, or not necessarily wrong, but in a relationship that has run its course. Or we are friends with people where that friendship has run its course. We're in a job that we don't like and that's run its course. Or we're not connecting with our true self in terms of meditation or connection or creativity or just silence in pockets of the day. And I think that that feels really exhausting. And for me, it was just like a very exponential increase in feeling, less vital, less energy, less life force, less creativity, and more just that feeling of existence. And I don't know quite how else to put it, but I know that when I'm having a mental health dip, because usually a shower will really help me come back into my body and like helps me regulate myself. I know when I'm feeling like that, if I'm having a shower and the water feels wet, then I know, oh, okay, I'm in a bit of a dip, because usually it's very soothing and nice. But then when it just feels wet, like I'm in this wet box, I'm like, okay, this is gross and this isn't hitting the same spot, you know? I think that it kind of felt like, I didn't feel like I was cornered, but I did definitely feel like I was at a dead end. And I think this person is referencing my old life being, I used to be a high school teacher. I was in a 13-year-long relationship. I was married and was living in a different place and had a 2-year-old at the time and decided to leave it all, sell my house, leave my husband, become a single mum, not go back to teaching and start something completely brand new. And I just knew that it was time, because I could see we were reaching a point where particularly with my relationship, that I knew that if I couldn't get out then when I wanted to, that I would build a level of resentment that was basically unfixable. Like I just did not want to be those people that those, I'm sure we all know somebody like this. And I'm unfortunately, I hope this isn't, if you're listening, your parents or somebody in your family, but I know in primary school, I had friends that their parents just hated each other and it was awful. And you could feel it in the house. You could feel it when they were together. I had friends that, you know, their parents used to say like, oh, tell your father this or tell your mother this, and would pass messages through them. And I just did not want to be an adult with that kind of relationship with my child or with my ex-partner. I wanted to have a respectful and healthy relationship, regardless of the outcome of the separation, because I knew my relationship with my daughter and her having two parents in her life was incredibly important. And I remember one day just saying, if we don't like separate now, we will get to a point where we both just fucking hate each other. And I want to be in the same room at kinder graduation, at her first day of school, at all the school productions, on excursions, you know, all of that, birthday parties, whatever it might be. I want to be able to be in the same room. I want to be able to have the same parent-teacher interview, all of that. And being a teacher, ex-teacher, I know that, you know, I had parents that would need to book two separate meetings for their child because they couldn't be in the same room as each other, all of that. And I did not want any of that. So I think to answer the question, I think the signal for me is that my life force energy will drop. I'll become agitated and exhausted, and I would just feel like there's nothing left in the tank. And that was the signal for me to start making moves. The other thing, I'm not sure if this is familiar to you listening, but I knew when I left my last job, which was like a cafe and little store, I had thought about the idea of leaving, and not long after I could feel kind of like my energy leaving the space. So it was kind of like all my energy that I'd put into that space started shifting and leaving. And then it kind of caught up again with my mind, and I thought, okay, yep, I can feel the shift here and I don't want to be here anymore. I think there's something else for me. So I'm going to respect that and let them know that this is my time to go now. And that gives them time to find somebody else. So I think being in tune with yourself, knowing what is a full body yes and what is a no in your body is incredibly helpful. And I think that's why it's so important to spend time with ourselves without, you know, blasting podcasts or music at us 24/7, just so that you can collect your thoughts and kind of just think in peace. But yes, I would say that that is a big signal. If something is starting to be really agitating, or just, yeah, it's for me, it's the life force energy. If something is off, it is off. I cannot make it come back online. And I honor that and I respect that in multiple areas of my life. So that's kind of how I would know what to do next, I guess. It'd be interesting to also know your human design. I know for me as a manifesting generator, that when something is like a yes, it's a full sacral, like magnet in the belly kind of pull towards something. And I don't really have trouble dropping something that I'm working on to move on to something else. I know that looks like chaos for some people, but if you're a manifesting generator, you know the feeling. You just got to ride the waves of what is piquing your interest and surf that wave and then jump on the next one. And then rest in between. You'll know when you're resting because you will have no energy to do anything and it will feel like your creativity has run dry. But I've learned that about myself and that's been incredibly helpful for me. So yes, thank you very much for submitting the questions. I hope that's helpful at all. You're always welcome to DM me for more clarification or if you wanted to let me know, you know, what it is you're talking about. I just wanted to end the episode by saying thank you lately to everybody that's bought something from the shop. I've seen your online orders and we've been packing them for you and it's just such a beautiful time of year. I made a post recently about how being a business owner in the lead up to Christmas is like preparing yourself to throw the biggest party of the year, and you're cleaning up and you're decorating and you're organizing and you're sorting and you're ordering, you know, supplies for this huge party, but there are no invitations and no RSVP, and you're just hoping and trusting that, and choosing to believe that the people that have come to awesome house parties of yours before will rock up again and they'll tell all their friends. That's the best way I can explain it. And they're knowing full well that yours is a really wholesome, lovely, incredible, engaging, beautiful house party with, you know, in your little love shack. And your competitors are nightclubs with millions of dollars of funding and heaps of people on the street advertising their nightclubs and handing out flyers and 70% off ticket prices and things like that to get people into the club. And so we're kind of like the people hosting their really cool house parties, but people are being lured in by these nightclubs down the street who are wanting, you know, they're like the big conglomerates that can offer the Black Friday sales of 80% off or 60% off, or I don't know, making millions and millions of dollars, you know, at this time of year. And so which is, you know, each to their own, horses for courses and that kind of thing. But I just would like, it was just something that came to mind that I wanted to share, because I don't know if people realize how daunting Christmas and the summer season can feel for retail spaces and local businesses. And on a recent post I made, I asked people watching to make a pledge that they would buy at least one thing from a local business near them this Christmas instead of buying from a big corporation. And this doesn't mean you have to buy the most expensive thing. It could be a card, a chocolate, you know, something handmade, something small. But all of that money makes a huge difference for our livelihoods. This makes the difference between being able to have a break over Christmas and not. It makes a difference in support. I know where my money goes when it comes through the till, and to me, it pays two other women who work part-time for me, and it also pays for the stock that is in the store that is also locally sourced and mostly women-owned and mostly mother-owned, and that goes right back into our community. And obviously, I need to pay business tax and things like that as well, and my rent. So I just wanted to make a note of that, because I think it's really important that we keep that in mind. And can you imagine? I think there's like 25 million or 28 million people in Australia. Can you imagine if everyone just spent $1 in a, or even $5 in a local shop or a local business, you know, rather than buying a $1 card from Kmart. Imagine buying a locally handmade one for $5 in a local shop. 25 million people. Imagine if we all did that. Obviously, there's babies and people that can't do that, but you know what I mean? Let's say it's 20 million and we all spent $5. That's $100 million that goes back into the local economy and into local communities. And I think we forget how much collective power we have with that. And I just wanted to remind you that it's okay to have a very simple and easy and calm Christmas and to shop locally. I promise you'll get the best service. People will probably remember your name and will ask you how your trip to Phillip Island was and how your daughter's birthday party went and if Cousin Nancy liked her gift. You know, we remember all of that kind of stuff. And so if you can, please shop local. And other than that, I will see you next week with another episode. And I wanted to say thank you for being here and thank you for tuning in to me. I hope whatever you're doing now is easy and blissful. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you again next week. Thank you very much, and I'll see you then. Thank you for being here, for taking a moment to connect with me. I hope today's conversation has brought a sense of peace or insight, reminding you of the quiet connections that weave through your life. If this episode hit any point at all with you, I would love for you to firstly just share it with a friend or somebody that you think would really value the topic that was discussed today. And if it aligns with your values, for you to share it on your socials as well, that would be super helpful for me. You can join me again next week as we continue to explore the art of connection. Until then, may you walk gently through your days, staying open and grounded and always connected to that golden magnetic pull of life. I'll see you soon.